Well, good morning. We welcome you once again to Jordan Baptist Church. And it's a privilege to be able to come to you online and be able to share with you a message this morning and listening to those songs. And each and every time that we come together, I think when we listen to those songs, the people in church, how I long to see them back here again playing, singing those songs. And it sure makes me homesick to get them back together and be able to assemble ourselves once again together. Well, if you've got your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, I'd appreciate it. I was looking at one of my Bibles, and here in chapter 6, the scripture I'm fixing to preach, the second message I ever preached whenever after God called me preach was from this text. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, the word stand, we're going to see several times, and withstand, it's a military term. And what it means is that we hold our position in the time of battle. In other words, we don't give up ground. We stand and we plant our feet solid where we have gained ground. But he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategy of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now that word wrestle means hand-to-hand combat. In other words, it's personal. It's something that we have a personal battle with. Now notice here that the Bible says our battle is not against each other human beings. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now remember that little term, evil day. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. And having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now let me just say this in passing this. Everything that the devil and the wicked throws at us, we ought to be able to quench those things by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so therefore we, through looking into the word of God, we don't let none of those things bother us, and we're able to overcome those things. Look in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now notice here that he tells us that we have an armor that God has given us. One that when we go out, we're going to stand, not give ground. We have to be prepared to face the enemy and the battles that we're going to face through the enemy. And now notice here, none of this armor has anything for the backside. It's not for us as Christians to turn and run, but it's up to us to stand and hold our ground firm, not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that it's the power of God for salvation for all those that believe. So we should not be ashamed of the gospel that we stand upon. We should not be ashamed to look at the world and say, listen, the only hope you have of going to heaven, the only hope you have of being saved is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We point everybody to Jesus and him lifted up. And we should not be ashamed of that. But now notice here, I told you, remember that little term, evil day. In verse 16 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 15, it says this, see then that ye walk circumspectly, that means wisely, very carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now here he says that we are to redeem the time, because the days are evil. Now over here, again, Paul reminds us that we need to put on the whole armor of God in verse 13, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now picture this just a moment. You hear that word redeemed a lot in reference to what Jesus did for us. He bought us with his blood. He redeemed us. He bought us back. Now, what the Bible says here is those of us who are saved, we need to redeem the time. To redeem the time means that we have to pay some price to change what's going on in the evil day. If you don't do something to redeem the time, the days are just going to get evil more and more all the time. Now, in 2 Timothy, in chapter 3, Paul again reminds us of the days that they're going to be very perilous. In verse 1, he says, "This also know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Verse 7, "Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth." Now on down in verse 13, he says, "But evil men," there's that word evil again. The word evil in all three of these tenses means the character of wickedness, or having a wicked character involved, injurious, dangerous. In verse 13, "But evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." This morning, I want to preach. I've preached from this in church before. I'll use this title. I got it from a friend of mine many, many years ago. I heard him preach a message. Don't even remember what the text was, but I remember the title. It stuck with me, and God gave me a message with this title. Standing before God, before you stand before God. This morning, I want to look at some things that we need to be standing before God in this present time before we have to stand before God. Now, you do know, each of us, whether we are lost or saved, the Bible teaches that we are going to stand before God. When we leave here, there's going to be a judgment for each one. For the lost people, you'll find the judgment described in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. You'll find out not only will you stand before God being lost, but you'll also have to give an account of all the works that you've done. You say, "Well, preacher, will that gain me any ground?" Well, the Bible, Jesus answered that and said that it was going to be more tolerable in the day of destruction for Sodom and Gomorrah than it would be for the people of Capernaum, because they had Jesus and his teachings. And let me say this for you, if you're here in America. If you die without Christ in America, my goodness, there'll be no excuse for you. The Bible says, "To whom much is given, much will be required." So you need to not be fooled. You need to not get so caught up in this world that you forget one of these days you'll stand before God. If you don't have Christ, you can go over Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. You'll find out what it's going to be like when you stand before God at that moment. Now, those of us who are saved, we have a different time and different place in which we present ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, as well as Romans chapter 14, verse 10, tells us that we shall all, talking about Christians, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, give account of those things done in this body, whether it be good or evil. In other words, those of us who are saved, we still have to give account of everything that we do. So let us not be deceived. Each of us will stand before God one of these days. If you're lost, you'll stand before God in the great white throne judgment. If you're saved, you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So we need to be doing some things here now while we have breath, while we're living. There are certain stands that we need to be doing. First and foremost, for those of you not saved, let me say this. You need to stand before the Lord as a sinner and cry out to God for your salvation. Do it before it's everlasting too late. If you're listening to the sound of my voice this morning, you're not saved. Our friend, you need to fall before your face and stand before God and cry out and ask him to save your soul and ask God to move into your life and change your life before it's everlasting too late. Right now, you need to be doing that. Now, Psalms tells us in Psalms chapter 139, everything that we do, God is aware of. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's all-knowing, and he's all-powerful, omnipotent. He, in other words, everything that goes on in our life, David said that his knowledge of us was too wonderful to even understand. Because the Bible, goes on and says, every time we stand up, God is aware of it. When we sit down, God's aware of it. When we lay down, God's aware of it. When we speak a word, God's aware of it. When we think a thought, God's aware of it. My goodness, there's nothing that we can do to escape hiding from God and fleeing from the presence of God. There's no place, no how that we can flee. So therefore, what we need to understand is, right now, whether you realize it or not, lost or saved, you are standing before God before you stand before God. He's recording everything that you're doing. He knows all our thoughts, all our actions, all our ways. So therefore, we need to be wise before we stand before God at our judgment, that we are standing before God as we live here. Second of all, we need to understand that we need to stand in this time, this evil day. We need to stand because of the assault on truth. We need to stand for truth. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you won't turn there for just a moment, the Bible tells us that there will come a time, in verse 2, he said, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Now, that falling away first is a falling away or withdrawal from truth. It's rejecting divine authority of God. Evil, the pretense of evil, is believing that you can live your life without God. It's rebelling against God. How did Lucifer become evil? He rebelled against God. He rejected the authority of God. And the Bible tells us in the last days, there would be a lot of people rejecting the authority of God. They would be withdrawing from the truth. There would be persecution of those who are saved. There would be a lot of false teachers running around teaching a lot of things. We would be tempted to draw into a worldliness and those types of things. And you would see people defecting from the truth. Now listen, those of us who are saved, we need to be bearers of the truth. We don't need to be running around trying to change the word of God. The Bible says that we are to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, and all long-suffering doctrine. It's not my job to change the word for the times. It's not my job to make it where it's more pleasing to your ears. My job is to preach the word of God. Preach it, let it fall. Let God deal with you where you stand according to his word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. His word is not going to change. And so if you want to know what stands in line for you at that judgment, you better get into the word of God. Only God's been there, and he knows what's going to happen, and therefore we need to come before him and find out before we stand before God. Now, when we stand, Jude told us that we need to contend, struggle, fight, for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That's the faith, the word that was delivered unto the apostles as they were given the word to write the New Testament. And so therefore, we need to keep it first and foremost before people's eyes. You know, it's a shame that churches have tried to find every other means of entertaining their people apart from preaching the word of God. You can have entertainment and fill a house up. You can tell them you're going to preach some good solid preaching, and you can't hardly get nobody to come. You know why? The times are on us when people are defecting from truth. They don't want to hear the word of God. And so therefore, we need to stand, and there's a price that we've got to pay to redeem this evil time. We have to come, and we have to continue to do, even when it's not popular sometimes, the things that God has called us to do. It's a time of deception. Everywhere you turn, there's false teachings. Everywhere you turn, you find people that's not teaching and people being swept away by false teaching. You know why? People's depending upon someone else to do the studying for them. They're depending upon someone else to get into the Word of God and dig for themselves. But the Bible tells us that it is up to us to study the Word of God, to rightfully divide the Word of truth. And it only comes through us studying it. And so even though it's good that you go to church, it's good that you listen to preaching, it's good that you go to Sunday school and listen to teaching, but still yet, God expects you to study on your own so that you'll not be deceived in these latter days. You'll be able to stand. And when someone's trying to teach a lie, be able to stand against that lie. Not only that, it's a time of deadness, formalism. In other words, the Bible says having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The power is the Holy Ghost. When God came to empower the church was in existence and waiting there for the empowerment. When God came to empower the church, he gave them the Holy Ghost of God to give them power to preach the Word of God in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. We still have that power today. But the Bible says in the latter days there would be churches that would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Not having the Holy Ghost of God to give them direction, to have the presence of God in their midst. And so therefore, it's a time of danger. That's why we need to keep the truth. Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is only going to stay where truth is being preached. Because he is a spirit of truth. And so therefore, his job is to reveal God's will through the truth. Amen. Not only that, but we're going to see an increase of demonic activity. And we would have to admit that everywhere we turn, we see increases of demonic activity. It's a time when we're seeing things that it just blows my mind sometimes, the things that we've gotten into. And also we see disloyalty, where they're not loyal anymore to family, to church, to country. I tell you, there's nothing that gets under my skin anymore than to see people kneeling during the Pledge of Allegiance or burning a flag. You say, well, they got free speech. But I'm of this. If you've ever gone to other third world countries, you would have to appreciate what God's done by letting you live in America. And I've always been of this attitude. If you don't like America, then go find a country that you like better. But here, we need to give our allegiance to our country. Am I happy with everything politicians does? Absolutely not. Government does? Absolutely not. But we're seeing a time when there's disloyalty. Children against their own parents. We find with the church. The word Laodicea, the last church age, means let the people rule. They no longer want to have anyone giving them direction, oversight. They're going to do their own thing the way they want to do it, regardless of what anyone or what the Bible says. I've had people tell me before, preacher, I know that's what the Bible says, but I don't care. Well, that's a dangerous statement to make. We should care what the Bible says because the Bible is the Word of God, and therefore that's where we get authority. Also, it's going to be a time where we're going to see defeat, compromise. We're going to give in. And so therefore, we need to understand, as we stand before God, before we stand before God, we need to be standing for the truth. We need to be fighting to keep the truth out there. And we need to be fighting to keep from all these changes to the Word of God and people trying to affect it. Listen. I wouldn't touch the Word of God. If you get in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, 19, the Bible says if you add anything to it, the Word of God, the Word of the prophecy, he will add to you the plagues that's written in that book. And if you take anything away from the Word of God, he'll take away from you your name out of the book of life. And my, oh my, if you understand what that means, the Bible says whosoever was not found written in the book of life in Revelation 20, 15 was cast into the lake of fire. One thing that you better not mess with is the Word of God. And so therefore, what we need to do is, those of us who are saved, we need to be crusaders standing for truth. Sometimes it will hit me. Sometimes it will hit you. Sometimes it will hit our family. But we need to uphold the word of truth and be faithful to that, because one of these days we'll give an account to God for whether we stood for the truth or whether we didn't stand for the truth. Another way in which we need to be standing before God, turn with me if you would to Genesis chapter number 18. In Genesis chapter number 18, here we have Abraham. Abraham is fixing to, the Lord has just showed up, him and a couple angels. And he comes to Abraham's camp where Abraham is, and he meets with him there. Now notice here that when he meets with him, he begins to tell him what he's going to do. First of all, he reminds him that they're going to have a son, him and Sarah. Then later on, he tells him what he's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. And then we find in the next chapter, the two angels, without the Lord going with them, but the two angels going to Sodom, where Lot was, to bring Lot out. Now, when we look at this, we realize that there's a great contrast between Abraham and Lot. Now, the Bible is clear that Abraham was a saved man. He's a father of faith. But the Bible is also clear that Lot was a saved man. According to Peter, he reminds us that Lot was a man. He was a righteous man whose soul was vexed daily by the filthy conversation of those who lived around him. So when we find that the difference between Lot and Abraham, both being saved, we can kind of see those of us who are trying to be faithful to the Lord and those of us who are not, even though we're saved. One is, Abraham had chosen position-wise to be in a tent away from the people of Sodom and away from the things that was going on in Sodom. Well, Lot, because of business reasons, to make more money, to venture better in his business, he decided to pitch his tent toward Sodom and soon ended up right in the midst of Sodom. He ended up there so much and he was so comfortable there, he called the people of Sodom his brethren. So there was a difference in positions there. Now listen, when we refuse to stand and be separated from some things, then what happened is it will draw us right in like Lot. Well, you say, what does that matter? Well, let's go on down and look at a couple other comparisons. One is, look at the fellowship between Lot and Abraham. When the Lord come to Abraham with the two angels, all three of them come, and the Lord fellowship with Abraham. But when he came to Lot, the two angels was there, and the Lord wasn't with them then, and the two angels was there only to bring him out and to pull him out that he would not be destroyed with the wicked that was left in Sodom. So think about that and the fellowship that was different between the way God related to Abraham and God related Lot. And so in this last day, as we stand before God, we need to try to have a fellowship with God that we can have where we can know God's desire for us. You look in their faith. They had a difference in faith. You find that Abraham, when he was told what was going on, he began to pray about it. When Lot found out what was going on, he began to argue about it. And so instead of falling on his face, now imagine if you were there in Lot, as Lot was in Sodom. Your wife, your children, your son-in-laws, all your family was there, the people that you got to know, and God come that with sent angels telling you that he's fixing to destroy the city. Wouldn't you think that a saved person would fall upon their face and begin to pray and cry out to God for the people and lost souls there? Lot was so caught up in business and life that all he wanted to do was argue about what they was wanting to do. He was wanting to find some other way of dealing with it. Not only that, but you look on, look at their families. Look at Abraham's family, how it was affected by Abraham's life. Look at Lot's family. The only ones that, of his family that eventually escaped was his two daughters, and they end up having sons with Lot, their dad, to carry on his name, Moab and Ammonites. So therefore, what happened was, and if you follow the history of those people, they were always a pain in pain in the side to the people of God. But think about Lot. He had no respect among his family. And you know, there are some people just like Lot, they're saved, but they have absolutely no respect whatsoever from their own family. They'd be the last one in the world to ever try that their family would ever listen to in time. And listen, this evil day in which we live, if we don't do something to try to save the people around us, have you just taken a good look at your children lately? Have you looked at them emotionally? Have you looked at them socially? How about spiritually? How many of us in the time in which we're living, and listen, what we do in this generation and the labor that we as Christians do to this generation will carry over to the next generation if Jesus doesn't come. I don't know, I tell you, this is strange times. We're seeing all the things that God says is going to happen before he comes back, happening all around us. I don't know when the Lord's going to come back. I don't know if this is just a stepping stone to it. I don't know. But I know this, in 60-some years of my life, I've never been in a situation like this. I've never seen a time when we've had to stay away from the word of the house of God. It's an amazing time. And you have to ask yourself, is God preparing this world for some great event that's fixing to happen? If he is, friend, let me ask you this. As you stand here, where are you standing before God now before you stand before God later? How about with your family? Do you have any influence with your family? Do they look to you, willing to listen to you? When Lot tried to get them come out of Sodom, they laughed at him. You know why? He lost all confidence. Not only that, but also think about their eternal reward. What would Lot, when he stand before a God, what would he have to show? He'd stand there being saved, as 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15 tells us, some will be saved yet so by fire, but their works will be burned. Nothing he has an eternal reward. But look at Abraham, contrast. Right now, if we want something waiting for us in heaven, we have to do what we need to be doing to secure an inheritance waiting for us in heaven. Now, notice if you would, in Genesis chapter 18, look if you would, after God told Abraham what was going to take place, and notice what Abraham did. Notice in verse number 22, verse number 22. Let me see here a minute. Yeah, it says, and the people turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Now notice that Abraham, even though he knew what they were going to do, Abraham began to pray unto God for these people in Sodom. Now, notice in verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he started with 50 and he went on down. And you know the story, how he got down to 10 righteous souls. And the Lord said, if I can find 10 righteous souls. And you know, if Lot had had his family in order, that would have been the 10 righteous souls. But Abraham prayed. Now, I want you to think about this. The Bible says in Jude, verse number 22, that in verse number 23, that some of us having compassion would be able to save people and pull them out of the fire. Right now, as we stand before God, we need to have a compassion and remember who is lost and what it means to be lost. I remember Dad talking about revivals. He said when he first started preaching, they'd have revivals, and they'd have 2 to 3 week revivals. He said the first week, parents would be on the altar crying out aloud, naming their children, begging God to save their children. He said before the revival ended, there'd be people being saved right and left because people had a burden. Right now, it's hard to get even people to fall upon their face before God. Now, notice Abraham. When he heard what was going to happen in Sodom, he began to pray. Now, number one, he knew who lived there. He knew who the people of Sodom was. He knew what they were practicing. And we realize that God said through their sin, well, he's going to destroy the city. But see, you have to separate the sin and the sinner. You have to pray for sinners. If we don't have a compassion, if we don't have a compassion for lost people, who's going to have compassion? If we don't take the gospel to them, who's going to take the gospel to them? If we don't try to win them to the Lord, who's going to win them to the Lord? You say, well, preacher, I don't like the way they're doing. You don't have to like their sin, but we can't lose sight of their soul. Second of all, he knew where they were headed. He knew if they died in their condition, they were going to hell. Would you really, could a saved person really ever want even the worst enemy to die and go to hell? I couldn't. He had compassion. He had compassion upon the people. He had a heart. And when you have compassion, it takes some investment from you. If you want to redeem the evil day, buy it back, you've got to put an investment in it. Let me ask you this. Parents, how much time have you spent before God praying for your children? How much do we spend praying for our neighbors, our parents? How much time do we invest in trying to see them one to the Lord and rescued out of this evil day in which we live? How much time are we willing to invest? It takes time. It'll cost you something. You can't buy it. You can't buy back time without it costing you something. So what you need to understand is this. You need to understand it takes compassion. And you have to be consecrated to the task that God has laid in front of you. And so therefore, before we stand before the Lord, wouldn't it be a terrible thing to be saved and stand before the Lord and be empty-handed? Someone put it this way, if we don't have our vertical relationship right with God, we can't have any of our horizontal relationships right. Lot did not have his vertical relationship right. Abraham did. And so this morning, what I'd like to encourage you to do is this. Most people I talk about, they say, preacher, boy, I tell you what, I believe it's the end of time. I believe times are changing. Boy, the world's changed since I was growing up. And any of us got any age would have to admit to that. Something's happening. But the question that we have to ask ourselves is this. Are we standing before God the way we want to stand before God before we stand before God? Are we doing the things that whenever we stand before him, we would want to hear well done? Or are we going to be ashamed at his appearing? We need to redeem the time. We need to think about it. Get so caught up. The Bible says in Daniel that we will be running to and fro. Well, you know what? I think one of the greatest blessings from this virus has been this. It stopped everybody and gave us some time. And we have no excuse, many of us, for not taking time and using time more wisely because it stopped and slowed us down. This morning, what I'd like for you to do is this. I'd like for you to ask yourself, how am I standing before God right now, before I stand before him? And can I ask you one more question?
if the Lord was to take your life now, would you be at that great white throne judgment that would be cast in the lake of fire because you stand before him without Christ? And those of you who are saved, how would you stand before him? If he looked upon you, he said you was wise. You were living wise during those days, circumspectively. Or were you acting like a fool, pretending like we're always going to have tomorrow, and just being blind to the spiritual needs of all those around us? We need to be much in prayer for that this morning. You say, "Preacher, I can't get out." Every one of us could spend some time praying from our homes. We could pick up a phone and we could call someone that's living their life without Christ. And we could pray for that individual and pray that maybe something we could say or do would be able to win them to the Lord. There's many things that we need to be doing. God has given us all the armor that we need to fight the battles and to win victories. But we must put it on, we must apply it. And we must never forget, we are standing before the Lord one day before we really stand before the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the time you've given us. Lord, not only did I preach to all those people that's listening out there, I preach to myself. We have to be wise. We have to understand. If we want some time back from this evil time in which we live, we want to buy some things back, we've got to invest some time into it. We've got to invest some time into our homes, our families. We've got to invest some time, Lord, in lost souls. We've got to invest some time in things that you would have us do. God, forgive us of where we fail to do that. And I pray that you would challenge those of us who are saved, that we may walk better, and Lord, that we may have a better understanding and come to the reality that we are standing before you right now. You know everything in our life. You know all our thoughts, all our actions, all our desires. And Heavenly Father, also we pray for those that might be lost listening. Oh God, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would awaken their lost condition to them and Lord, convict them and draw them to Jesus. And this would be the day that they would turn and they would cry out before you to save their soul, dear Heavenly Father. That would be our desire. Lord, they need to understand before they die without Christ and in hell lift up their eyes being in torment. Lord, you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Help them to understand, dear Heavenly Father, that was the purpose of Jesus coming. And Lord, he'll save whosoever will, let him come. We ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.